Sylvie. WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
So we got some Cubs taking some batting practice over at Wrigley Field. We got, what'd you see there, Waddle?
Seiya and Bellinger, both in the cage, taking some BP up at other Wrigley Field. So good for you.
They're getting closer.
So I'll say working out, running the bases yesterday.
Yesterday they did some running and now hitting. Hopefully they'll be back soon.
Take your time. No reason to rush back.
You don't want to screw around with an oblique. And then Bellinger's got the ribs.
He's got a rib.
Two, I think, right? Fracture two ribs?
I think so.
That's more of a pain tolerance thing than the oblique.
Yeah.
Right? The oblique you could re-injure and do that.
Certain muscle pulls and tears, you'd rather break a bone. Because it's just so painful. I think the one thing, I've never had it, but everyone talks about rib cartilage tears. Like when the rib cartilage is damaged, that it's just unbearable pain.
Like even coughing is tough.
Yes. Like you just never can get comfortable.
And then you got to swing a bat. You got to reach for a ball. You got to run. All that. So Jesse's going to join us after Jed speaks. He says there's a lot of people speaking today. So I think Jed's scheduled to speak around 4:15, 4:20. So we thought originally maybe he'd be 4:30. He could be closer to 5 o'clock. So as soon as we get Jesse, we'll let you know and get you all the things that Jed had to say today. I saw this. Kay Adams also tweeted this out. So Matt Eberflus has his own honey. Were you aware of this?
No. When did that become a thing?
I had no clue. It said since 2022, though. It looks like it's being packaged and made in like Bluff, so it makes sense. So is this legit, Tyler? I asked you and you said yeah, or are you just looking at the picture that Kay Adams sent out?
I just saw the picture. I don't know if it's real or not.
I've not heard anything.
I googled it. I can't find like if there's a link to
when does
buy
he
it
have time
anything.
For the honey business. That doesn't sound like something Matt Eberflus would be involved in. He's all ball all the time.
And there's a bee on the picture, obviously, but bears like honey too, right? It's a bear thing as well. Shouldn't there be a bear on the package?
Isn't that what Winnie the Pooh always had his hand or his head caught in the honey jar?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just win some games. Just win some games, please. You have all the honey you want.
This is the whole turnaround with Eberflus.
The honey business does nothing for me.
Maybe that's what he's using as hair gel these days. He's got a little honey slicked through his hair.
Sure. I believe he's actually dyeing the hair too.
Really?
Which is totally cool. But I'm just saying. Yeah, look at pictures now versus before.
No. There's a lot of gray in there. Come over here. Take a look at this. There's a lot of gray.
Okay.
That's not a dye job.
I'll rip his play calling
in late game up.
All the way, but like... I saw a shot of him that looked like his hair. Maybe his hair was just a little bit wetter. There was a little extra gel in there.
Yeah, like sometimes someone will say to me, oh, Sylvie, are you dyeing your hair? And some days, like if my hair's wetter and I'll put in the pomade, it darkens the hair. I've never once dyed the hair.
Okay, I see what you're saying. You come look at that picture. You tell me that's...
Sometimes it could be the lights or, again, like if the pomade goes in a certain way.
Okay, but doesn't that look like a brand new dye job right there on that picture? That looks good. There's some color to that hair.
Look at that. Look how great.
What are you doing? Polly Walnuts had the sidewinders as well. You don't do the whole thing. You can leave some of the gray in.
You're pulling a Yurko, where Yurko used to some days say that to me.
What's that?
Are you dyeing your hair? And it would be the way it looked that day.
Could be. Could be. I'm not sure. But again, I don't care about the honey business.
You just win games.
Win some games for me.
We'll be there Friday. We'll be out at the mini camp on Friday. Rookies will participate. Boy, the crowd, did you see how crazy the crowd went for Caleb Williams at the game?
I did not, but I hear he's been in town for a while getting everything set up and getting acclimated to everything.
He went back. He was at the Laker playoff game.
Yep.
Then he came back, and then there was a picture of him floating around at Target. Did you see him shopping at look at Caleb. He shops at Target just like us.
Well, he is a human being.
Yes.
Yeah, he is a human being.
He does need groceries and stuffers at his place.
By the way, I can't find anything. Like, I mean, it's just the Google machine, but I got Matt Eberflus honey business. I got nothing.
I can't find anything. See, nothing. That's why I don't think it's real.
Doesn't sound like something that he would do. When he has free time, he plays golf.
Right. And spends time with his daughters.
Yes. I don't see him, but I don't know.
Kay Adams had the picture of it up, and she said you learn something new every day.
Don't know.
But, yeah. All right. The good, the bad, the dirty. Every day, every Monday after the weekend, we go around the room. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty. It is brought to you by Avondale Roofing. If your roof, commercial or residential, has taken a beating, check out Avondale Roofing. Waddle was just recommending Avondale Roofing to one of his friends. Search AvondaleRoofing.com. Read reviews. Sign up for a free estimate. Avondale on top until you're satisfied. Yeah.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Waddle, what is your good?
I know you're a basketball first guy. I don't know how closely you've been watching all the playoffs. But Donovan Mitchell had 39 yesterday as the Cavs get past the Magic to advance. He had 50 in Game 6. So 89 points in two games for Donovan Mitchell. And Anthony Edwards on Saturday had 43 in their win over the Nuggets. So a couple of guys doing their thing in the NBA. I think this series, it's Game 2 tonight with the T-Wolves and the Nugs. I think that's going to be
watch.
Yes, it's going to be a very entertaining series, I believe. I heard the good kid breaking it down today, and I thought he was spot on. You know, the Nuggets got past the Lakers 4-1 and did not really even look like they played well.
No.
And if you bring that same level of game to this series with the T-Wolves, they won't get past the T-Wolves.
I think the Nuggets will end up finding...
I'm with you.
...at least a better version of themselves. I don't know if they'll really play like they did last year, but I don't, like, today on not Get Up, but I think on First Take, or maybe it was over the weekend, something where they're already declaring that the T-Wolves are going to win the series.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Like, you can't make proclamations after game one of a 7-game series. Did you see, too, that Rudy Gobert is questionable for tonight?
I don't believe he's playing, is he? I think he's the birth of his kid.
But yeah, so they had their first child. And from what I've read, it's a matter of if he can get back to Denver in
questionable
time.
For game two.
So he's questionable if he can get back in time. This is the thing that we've always talked about, right? Yeah. About if it's an important game, would you miss the game? And obviously he's been looking forward to becoming a father and he wanted to be there, which is totally understandable. And
family first.
And he's a big, big deal on taking the best player in the NBA out of his comfort zone.
Yeah, because he's not a threat on offense.
No, he's the best defender in the league.
Yes, he is.
At least one of them. He always wins Defensive Player of the Year, at least. This is my good. I thought this, I don't know if you probably heard about the trade with the Padres and the Marlins, with Arise going to the Padres, but did you know that one of the players was traded by the Padres while he was on second base of his minor league game? I believe this happened on Friday night. This is the call of the minor league game as he was standing on second base.
Martorella is going to be pinch run for. I think these reports might be accurate, folks. Luke Montz has come down to the home plate umpire. He got word from his trainer in the dugout. Montz is coaching third base. They got his attention. Martorella's out there at second, pointing at himself, going, who, me? What'd I do? Well, Nathan, you're about to find out that there's some stuff going down. Pinch runner at second base is Chase Valentine. And, yep, we're going to have some movement. Marcy and Martorella are both popping out of the San Antonio dugout. They get hugs from Luke Motz. They're going to the clubhouse. They're reportedly joining the Miami Marlins organization. They're going to take a trek down the right field line as we get a traveler pitching change. Hill being lifted here in the third. Two on, one out. Trav's back to the bullpen. We got all sorts of baseball stuff going on here at DSP tonight. Martorella and Marcy headed to the clubhouse trying to explain to everybody in a gray shirt what's on earth is going on here tonight. They're giving out hugs. What a scene on a Friday night in May. 8-2, Trav's lead it. Pitching change here for the Travelers. We're back after this on Buzz 2.
Buzz 2. First of all, doesn't every minor league announcer sound alike?
Yes.
Every minor league broadcast sound alike. But second of all, that is, do you ever remember a guy getting traded while he was on base? Like, sure, it's happened during games. And I've seen guys where they've had to switch clubhouses, like after one game, and they play for the other team, like in second game of a doubleheader. I don't know if I've ever seen mid-game a guy on base getting taken out because he's been traded.
Yeah, you can't get him hurt.
It's pretty funny.
That is good.
Didn't that happen to Wilmer Flores? He wasn't on base, but he was in the field, I want to say.
Oh, what, did
Wilmer
he get taken
Flores,
out?
And he, like, started crying, like, on the field.
Did he that really? Is right, for the while he was playing for the Mets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he was, that was a major leaguer. I thought that was pretty funny. He did, this guy had no clue. He's like, why are you taking me out? I'm on second base right now. I'm running the bases. Why are you taking me out? But, yeah, he was one of the players traded.
Like how long do you think in his head until it clicked in his head? Oh, no. Or you know what I mean?
Or
like,
is he happy?
Or like, oh, yes.
I mean, he's going from San Diego to Miami, so I don't know.
Is he? Did he? And does he get promoted right away? Or is he just going from minor league to minor league?
Probably minor league to minor league, but he's probably got a clearer path to get to the majors for the Marlins.
You could play for the Marlins at some point, probably in their minor league.
At least as a hitter.
Yeah,
like it's got to be awkward for minor leaguers because, like, I'm sure their agents tell them a little bit of stuff here, but it's not like minor leaguers' names are in the trade, unless you're a top prospect. Your name's not in, like,
the
trade
rumors.
Sphere, the rumor mill, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What do you got, Mel, or what you got?
I'm going to go with the Kentucky Derby. The 150th running was a fabulous finish, boys, as Mystic Dan edged out Forever Young and Sierra Leone in a three-wide photo finish. I got a chance to explain to Alex, my son, when we were watching it. We watch one horse race a year. It's the Kentucky Derby. And I said, that's what the saying by a nose means. It's exactly it. We had a by a nose finish for first and second and third. It was that close. It was a pretty
photo finish as well.
Run.
It's a good explanation for a photo finish.
Photo finish and by a nose. That's what you mean. So good stuff.
Didn't they say that it was the closest photo finish ever? Or at least that's what they thought?
It had to have been. I mean, I can't imagine that there was one that was any closer than that. It's close to a dead heat.
They always do such a good job of broadcasting that event.
Yeah.
It is an event the way they cover
that. Yeah, I mean, it's 2.5 minutes.
Right.
But the lead up during the day, and Mike Tirico's part of it, Eddie's part of it. It's a good presentation. I always enjoy it.
Randy Moss,
yes.
The other Randy Moss.
What do you got, Tyler? What's your good?
My good, Georgia baseball's Charlie Condon. If you haven't seen this, he has now homered in 7 straight games. He also hit his 33rd home run of the season as well. Both of those are records in the, it's called the BB Corps era. I don't know if you guys remember. It was like 15 years ago. They basically deadened the metal bats across all levels of baseball. But he has now hit a home run in 7 straight games, and he's the number one prospect in the MLB draft.
Did you see Justin Pottinger's brother homered over the weekend as well?
He's having a nice season.
Yeah, he's had a very good year.
He plays for Indiana State, one of our producer's brothers. He's really good. All right, what's your bad?
My bad, inside the Brady roast, I thought Ben Affleck's appearance and performance, it was time to go to the bathroom. That's how bad it was. And then I told you guys, and again, I can't wait to hear what you all have to say. I thought Tom Brady's presentation at the end was the worst part of it. I just did. Like, when Belichick was up there doing his thing, basically in his character, Gronk, his personality, he didn't change. Brady seemed like he morphed into something or someone that he's not. It was just really weird.
Do you think he was drunk and he was trying to get through it?
I don't know, because like this had to be pre-written, and I just, my wife and I watched it and we're like, wow, that's just, you know, I mean, I know it's a roast, but it's just weird. Like when Gronk does his thing, yeah, Edelman, yes, Belichick, yes, all in character. He was like playing the part of a character that was, it was just weird. I thought it was really weird. So I thought of, it was a good night, good show, but Ben Affleck and Tom Brady, I thought they were the weak links of the entire presentation.
I probably won't get a chance to watch the end of it tonight just because of the basketball game and Cubs are playing the Padres tonight, but I need to watch the second half soon. My bad is watching the Cubs bullpen in one-run games. We talked about it on Friday. They lost that game. They blew that game. And they, I think it was 6-4 on Saturday. And Hector Neris is just, he's a heart attack. Heart attack Hector. I don't know, like, whether it's always nervous Neris or heart attack Hector. I don't know what to call him. He can't close for you. He can be your seventh inning guy or eighth inning guy, but he's just too erratic. And I don't want what's happened the last two yesterday to just be the sort of the palate cleanser. Do you know what I mean? And Jed to think, okay, we're getting healthier and we're going to get better now that Ben Brown's down there, and soon we're going to get another arm down there because Wicks should be coming back soon.
You should still be looking at.
Yes. You've got to be looking at guys who are specialists at this. And again, because all these games count the same, and this excuse that it's too early or that there's a lot of season to go, a blown game in May counts the same as a blown game in July or a blown game in August. And those are games you can't make up. So this is something that they've got to take care of. I don't want them to go out and overpay. Don't get me wrong. But still, this is a red flag, and they must get it taken care of. And the bullpen has shown you from the very start that they're blowing these one-run games, and they must get it taken care of sooner rather than later. What do you got, Mellor?
My bad is some of the endings for some teams in the first round of the playoffs. The Clippers, of course, bounced by the Mavs. Their whole situation with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George is up in the air, and another first-round exit for them. Of course, the Suns, a very disappointing 4-0 sweep to the T-Wolves. And, of course, the Bucks go down with Doc Rivers, the mid-season coaching change for them. That was a bit of a disaster if you look at it. And then how about the Maple Leafs? Yet again, another early exit from the NHL playoffs. So the playoffs are great this time of year, but for a lot of teams, the early exits call into question what their future is as teams. And for a lot of them, it is very uncertain.
Is it me? I know you were talking NBA. Are we... every year at this time, are we always talking about the Toronto Maple
we
Leafs?
Are. No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean... Yeah. They absolutely are in the mix. You know, I don't know who had a more disappointing, you know, it's great to go to seven games, but year after year, when you always get bounced in the seventh game, it sucks.
It's pretty much been all chalk in the Stanley Cup.
It really has. Yeah.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
but do they ever go far? The Maple Leafs ever go far?
They don't go far, Sylvie. Last year, remember, they snapped the streak. I think it was last year. It wasn't 2 years ago when they actually got out of the first round, but then they immediately were dumped in the second round. Yeah. So, you know.
What do you got, Tyler?
My bad is the rain delay that took place in St. Louis on Saturday. And just the Cardinals. Anytime you lose a series to the White Sox, you're going to get my bad for the weekend, too. But a three-hour rain delay that ended up resulting in one out being played. Just play it the next day.
That's actually just a piggyback. That's my dirty. Any three-hour rain delay for a game between the White Sox and the Cardinals, I'm with you. And if you're Shea or you're Jack and you have to hang around... That's just a it's a dirty night.
It's the rule, right, though? Yeah. Isn't it because it's the rule? They should change the rule. Is that what you're saying? Because isn't it the rule that if that gets called there, then it goes back to the previous inning getting wiped out? I don't think you could
believe
continue
that's
it.
Right, but still. Like
when it's the Cardinals
the
and the White Sox,
the
flip
rule.
A coin. And whoever, you know, calls the coin, you get the win.
It very easily could have been the bases were loaded with two outs.
Yeah, you should be able to continue it and be like, look, we got a game tomorrow. No, the teams aren't going anywhere. The weather's fine. Let's let common sense prevail and not make these teams wait 3 hours. Let's pause this. We'll pick it up tomorrow at noon.
Yes.
And then we'll play game three of the game starting at 1:10.
Probably raise the risk of injury dramatically by doing it this way. You know, I don't know how many guys are making sure that they're loose when they get back out. Or
and why make fans? Like, I don't know. Maybe there's a fan thing where you want... But yes, who does that help by making fans wait 3 hours?
When certainly the not Shea looks or like Jack. That? Yeah, they were hunkered down in here, weren't they?
Yeah, by the way, did you see there was a quote in James Fegan's piece as well from the weekend? Grafal said, in that 3 hours and 3 minute delays, they stayed focused, said Pedro Grafal. Tanner Banks, I ended up taking a nap. You can't stay locked in for a couple hours.
It's just like... Cool.
Well, as he should. I'm not blaming the nap. I'm not saying they shouldn't take a nap.
No,
but Grafal saying that they stayed focused just for like that mental masturbation line. Like, look how prepared my team is.
It's pretty much a certainty that if you sit and talk with Pedro and then go talk to somebody else 5 minutes later,
no connection.
You're going to get separate answers to the same question.
It's just him trying to flex and say, look, I've got a grasp of my team. My team's prepared. There's not one team who's going to stay focused through a three-hour delay. Not one.
Nope.
What do you got for your dirty?
My dirty was Tyler's. It was the three-hour rain delay. That's just dirty for everybody.
Did you see this? This is going back to the Nuggets and the Wolves. T-Wolves, who's playing tonight. I saw this stat on social media. They have met 14 times since the start of 22-23, okay? So in their last 14 meetings, they're 7-7.
Wow.
The Denver Nuggets have scored 1,565 points. The Minnesota Timberwolves have scored 1,555 points. They're 1 point away from each other.
That's crazy.
1,565 to 1,555. 7-7, 14 matchups. That is dirty. And this is going to be fantastic. I think you are seeing two great, fun Western Conference teams. And if you don't love NBA basketball, this may get you back a little bit. Because it's not the same old, and it's young, emerging superstars. It's the best player in the league. It's one of the most underrated players in the league in Jamal Murray, and it's probably the best up-and-coming player in the league that is getting the comps with Michael. So tune in.
Tune in.
I'll work off of that. This isn't my exact dirty, but they tweet out there with, I saw this weekend, everyone's up in arms about Drake hiding a kid for 11 years when Michael Jordan been hiding Anthony Edwards for 22. That was dirty over the weekend. But my actual dirty is Shohei Ohtani putting the Major League Baseball universe on notice now that he doesn't have to focus on pitching this season because he's recovering from Tommy John surgery. He's taken his hitting to an absolute another level. He's leading baseball in batting average and like so many key hitting categories, he's just absolutely trouncing the opposition. And he went off on the Braves this weekend. Look out because he is an absolute beast at the plate right now.
You said batting average, Jeff, also first in OPS, first in extra base hits, tied for first in home runs. He's been unbelievable.
And then when you look at like the nerd numbers, like the his ex WOBA, his ex BA, his ex slugging.
What's an ex WOBA?
It's your ex on base average. Anyway,
what
his average
on base percentage?
His ex WOBA. We don't have time to get into it. I don't want to
ex WOBA.
Like, his ex WOBA.
I don't think you know it. I think you're just
his ex BA. His ex slug. Yes. His average exit velocity. His barrel percentage. His hard hit percentage.
His double bubble zip zang.
His sweet spot percentage. It's all 100th percentile. It's insane. He's just out of his mind right
What's
now.
What's his BABIP?
His BABIP is probably really high.
Well, wait a second. You just got all snotty there. And
with the ex-WOBA, the
no,
XBA.
No, no, you went, it's BABIP, it's your not BABIP.
It's your expected weighted on base average.
Okay, my eyes just rolled in the back.
That's what I figured. But he's good.
Tyler?
My dirty from the weekend, Ryan Poles in attendance for this, by the way. Lando F1. Norris at the F1 race took down Max Verstappen. I'm trying to think of like what the comp for that is, but like Verstappen doesn't lose these things. He like never loses in F1. It's the first time I've ever watched F1. I turned it on for like the final like 10 minutes of the race, and I was like, oh, Verstappen lost.
How many cars are in that race?
I have no idea.
Okay. I know nothing about it. Is watching the F1 Netflix stuff worth watching?
I know so many people who wake up early on is it Sunday mornings or Saturday mornings to watch F1 now because they watch the show.
Like, because you know me, I'm not the biggest golf fan, but I loved Full Swing. And people have told me that I would love the F1 stuff. Is it called F1 on
Netflix?
It's
called Drive to Survive. They were the ones that pioneered like all of these different series.
This came
like,
out before the golf, right?
Yeah, they went from F1 to tennis to golf.
I may have to. Did you guys see the menu prices?
Yes, I did.
At F1?
Know. No.
Can we give that at the beginning of Aki's A-List?
Yeah, I'll find those.
Wait, Waddle, wait till you hear this. The drinks were crazy. But the food items, I thought, was even more outlandish than the drink prices. Read those, Tyler, coming, because it was in Miami, and you know Miami's one of the most expensive towns out there. But I saw it on Twitter. We'll read those. Aki's A-List coming up. Jed is expected to meet the media. He could be doing it as we speak. Once he's done, Jesse's going to hop on, give us the latest from Wrigley Field.
It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
That's right, Tyler has questions each and every day. If you miss it, you can grab it all on our brand new YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@WaddleandSylvie. One other note, I have not mentioned this. I have a happy hour event on Thursday. It is at a place in the Loop. It's called Slightly Toasted. Ooh. It's in my old neighborhood. I used to live at Randolph and Canal. This is just like a block up and a block over it. Like, I believe this is at Madison and Clinton. So it's brought to you by Elijah Craig, Kentucky Straight Bourbon. It's right by the Ogilvy train station. It's Slightly Toasted this Thursday. The event's going to start at 5:30 with the Nissan Titan Street Team. Our show ends that day at 6. I'll be over there at about 6:15. We'll be giving away a twosome on the Great Clips Waddle and Sylvie team for our Grip It and Sip It Classic. This is a sold-out event. Mm-hmm. So you cannot get any more twosomes or foursomes to our golf outing. The only way to get into the golf outing is by attending my event. It's Slightly Toasted this Thursday starting at 5:30. So join us there, Elijah Craig, Kentucky Bourbon Straight Whiskey. So that should be fun right after the show. In the Loop, a rare city event, Slightly Toasted with me. All right, Tyler, what do you got?
All right, we were just mentioning the F1 food prices before we went to break here. A little bit of guess prices right here. How much for a Maine lobster roll?
Oh, a Maine lobster roll. I'm going to go $35.
You're a little over 10% of the way there. $280 for a Maine lobster roll.
Get out of here.
Told you.
Get out of here.
I could not believe the food prices. I could not believe it when I saw this on social media.
Get out of here. Who's paying $200 plus for a Maine lobster roll?
How about some carne asada nachos?
Well, now you $125.
$180 for some carne asada nachos.
I get it. I know that F1 is a different stratosphere financially. I think that the drivers are some of the most highly compensated athletes in the world.
Well, how could you do that?
Well, not just that, though. This is for, like, I think it's called the Hard Rock Club. Oh, you have to pay $1,000 to get into this club first.
Oh, jeez. Well, so once you're in there, like, you've got so much money, like, $180 for tacos isn't probably something that bothers you.
Really? Like, if you're that rich, did you get rich by paying $180 for tacos?
No, but you're not bothered by it once you are that rich.
How about if you want to add 1 ounce of caviar to any item?
$2,000.
All right, a little rich there. $400.
$400, okay.
Give me, like, something more mainstream.
I've never had caviar. Have you ever had caviar?
I don't know if I have. I don't think I have.
I have not.
They're fish eggs, right?
Yes.
All right, a bucket of 16-ounce Miller Lights.
How many of them are?
There's five in a bucket.
$100.
$55.
Okay, so it's coming down.
This is what I thought. That's why when I read it, I thought, when I saw the lobster roll prices and the nacho prices, I thought, totally outlandish.
But the beers...
The beer is still very, very high, but in comparison with the food,
right.
I've seen higher.
I bet you for a 12-ounce beer up on the Cubs game tonight, you're paying $11, aren't you?
Oh, at least.
Probably more, probably like 13, yeah. All right, how about, let's see, a bottle of Tito's?
So now the full bottle of Tito's.
Yeah, $250. So this is the bottle list, yep.
$250.
You're probably paying $250 for a bottle of Tito's in any bar you go to these days. So you got to think higher than that.
Really?
Yeah. Like if you're going to a bar and you're getting bottle service, you're probably paying that anywhere you go.
Wow. That's crazy.
A bottle of, yeah, I would think so.
It is $560.
Oh, get out.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, those were the prices for the weekend.
Would you rather pay... How much was it for a lobster roll?
I think it was $280.
Would you rather pay $280 for a lobster roll or $500 for a bottle of Tito's?
$500 for a bottle of Tito's. I get more out of the bottle.
That's what I'm saying.
We gotta ask Ryan Poles the next time he's on.
Yes, if he did this.
Yeah, what he ordered and how much it ran him.
That's probably why he's not eating much anymore. It's because he's hanging in all these exclusive clubs. Yeah. Because it's so damn expensive. He's going to the Bird Streets in L.A. where he got hooked up in, and now he's hanging out at these F1 races.
Ask him if he's
expensive.
A partner in the honey business with his coach. Maybe there's a little extra cash coming in on the side.
All right. What else do you got?
All right. So yesterday, another great performance from Javier Assad. 6 scoreless innings for the Chicago Cubs. He has been one of the very, very bright spots to this rotation that has had a number of surprising performances this year. But where is Javier Assad on the list of biggest surprises for this Cubs season?
I still think Shota is even though that he was a free agent and even though he was good in Japan, the greatness so far has been simply off the charts. And I don't know if anyone knew he would be this great. And again, I don't know how long this is going to remain the case, but I think it starts with Shota. And that's the biggest surprise. And I think how bad the bullpen has been, especially in late innings, is second amongst big surprises. Who could have predicted how bad they are?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. I think Assad has been a surprise, but you saw signs that he was a good pitcher last year.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't think anybody would have predicted this kind of start in 7 starts, but, I mean, he's shown you that he's quality. I mean, what they've been able to do with their starting rotation, especially with some guys on the shelf, has been really impressive.
They've developed a lot of guys. They've all taken the next step.
This was actually from Bob Nightingale's article. He had like a little notebook today. There's been no bigger surprise among scouts this year than Cubs pitcher Shota Imanaga. So like,
I didn't know that. Shota's, I agree with Nightingale.
Yeah, Shota's not just a Cubs surprise. He is a baseball surprise as well. Another little tidbit I picked up out of this notebook from Nightingale was him talking about Tommy Pham. He's their leading candidate to represent them in the All-Star game, despite really only being there for a week and change.
So weird.
But he's also probably a prime trade candidate now. He also puts in there, the White Sox are expected to trade starters Eric Fetty, Chris Flexen, Mike Clevinger, reliever Michael Kopech, and designated hitter Eloy Jimenez. And it got me thinking, the Cubs obviously need to start with the bullpen before they make any moves. But would Eloy Jimenez be a good buy-low target for the Chicago Cubs?
I scoffed at this.
No, I would not.
I scoffed at this in the pre-show. Go ahead. You can go first.
No, I wouldn't do it. I think that you have other guys that will come through your system that will be just fine as designated hitters, and that's all Eloy's going to be. Eloy had 120 games last year. He hit 18 home runs. I wouldn't do it.
Even though it's buy low, so let's go through it. So you have guys who could come up here with Canario, with Owen Casey, and others.
Matt Shaw.
And they made DH for you. I was going like with some of the outfielders because the outfield is pretty stacked right now because in left field, you have Ian Happ. In center field, you have Cody Bellinger. In right field, you have Saya. Tuchman has not lost anything. If anyone thought Tuchman for 1 year was just going to be good and that was it, he's been surprisingly good on base-wise. He's been a godsend in Saya's absence. So now all of a sudden, that he's your fourth outfielder. Anyone they bring up with these young guys who play outfield will be your DH. That's where they're lacking. They're lacking a DH. So a young guy who you bring up in your system will help you there. I'm not paying for a guy in any capacity, even by low, in trading someone away who could break down at any moment.
I would think Morrell's going to get some at-bats at DH quite a bit as well as the season rolls on. So I don't think you.
Right. You bring Shaw up if he starts hitting a little bit better and he plays more third for you down the stretch and Morrell DHs.
I understand why the question is asked, but is the juice worth the squeeze?
No.
And I'm the answer to my own question would be no.
And I don't want to trade for Kopech either. I've seen this floated around. Like he's too unreliable to me. I'm not trading for Kopech. There are too many other arms I'd rather trade for.
Yeah, like if you think Neris is a roller coaster, yeah, then you want no part of the Michael
Kopech.
Kopech.
I can't depend on Kopech. Not in a pennant race. Uh-uh.
All right, for the first time since 2005, we have no LeBron, no Kevin Durant, and no Steph Curry in the semifinals of the conference playoffs here. Is the NBA in a good spot with its superstars for the future?
I think they are. Now, again, you're going to have to get used to not seeing or hearing some of those names, but I've enjoyed the NBA this year.
I know you have, but does Indiana and New York appeal to people outside of those two towns? We like Jalen Brunson,
right?
But is anyone tuning in to see that matchup outside of Indiana and New York?
Probably not in large numbers.
And
Halliburton is a fantastic game. But look, you got to be an NBA fan to like some of these guys. Anthony Edwards, I would think would appeal to all basketball fans.
That's why that series, in my opinion, is so important. That's why Denver, Minnesota is so important. But other than that, is there really anything going on in the NBA?
Well, if you look like more future thinking, Wemby, you'd imagine as a part of the playoff mix.
Right.
And I think that, like, Wemby and Ant feel like the future of this league.
I mean, the Thunder have some guys that you can cling to. Doncic is still a guy that you know, to me is must watch television. Jason Tatum is in that category as well. I mean, there are guys, again, you're right. I mean, maybe the name, you know, the name value isn't there, or you're not. But I think if you're a basketball fan, you're cool with what the young guys are.
And the problem with the Celtics is there's no team to really give them a run here. Like, Cleveland and Boston is going to be boring. Like, is anyone tuning in for Cleveland and Cleveland and Boston?
Probably not. And you're probably, I mean,
I didn't tune in for Cleveland and Orlando, even though it went seven games until game seven.
I think there's no question for me, there's more intrigue in the Western Conference with the Thunder and the Mavs and then the T-Wolves and the Nugs, much more so than, yeah, if you like good old-fashioned, you know, roll around on the ground getting a knee burn, you know, then you may watch the Pacers and the Knicks. It's old-school basketball.
No, yeah, I like it. It's definitely a fork in the road moment, though, for the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, remember, too, Giannis was out because of injury.
Sure.
I mean, there's still people, in my opinion, that
the Heat are out, the Bucks are out, The Lakers are out. The Warriors are out. There are a lot of name brands who are out.
I will say a lot of... There's been a ton of criticism about the comparisons to Anthony Edwards and Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. And yeah, it's largely silly, but I think it is good for drawing eyeballs to maybe people who have checked out of the NBA for a little bit and say, oh, there might be this second coming guy who could be this next great within the league.
Well, having him in Minnesota probably doesn't help the league's cause. You know, I mean, it's not as high a profile spot, but look, I at some point you're going to have to turn the reins over to somebody else. I mean, LeBron can't play forever. Are you still? I got to be honest with you. There was nothing appealing for me to view the Phoenix Suns playing basketball. They just weren't like
they never clicked.
Never, and it was never anything that I was like, God, I got to watch the Suns tonight. So, I'd much rather watch the Timberwolves and the Nuggets versus the Suns playing anybody.
All right, Jesse is going to join us soon from Wrigley Field. Jed is speaking at Wrigley. We'll get you an update on what he's thinking. It's all coming up soon.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Let's talk to Jesse Rogers, who joins us live from Wrigley Field on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Jesse is always brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota Dealer Association. Toyota, let's go places. Jesse, tell us where Jed is going as far as his bullpen thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to explore every avenue, that's for sure. I asked him right off the bat, is it external? Is it internal? Is it... you know, just your starting staff getting healthy. And he said all of the above. And I get it. I get it. Because with Justin Steele back tonight, Ben Brown gets moved to the bullpen. Craig Counsell said that to me earlier. Ben Brown will be a part of this series in the bullpen. So you add a good arm there. Remember, Wicks is still out there. Kyle Hendricks is still out there. This is quite amazing how deep this starting staff could be. Now, we don't know what Hendricks is going to be, but you get what I mean. They have arms and they're getting healthier. And whoever doesn't produce in the rotation might get moved to the bullpen here, as Ben Brown is doing. Meanwhile, he's looking externally. I mean, he admitted talking to some of the teams that are out of it. He said he knew the Marlins trade for Luis Arraez to the Padres was coming down the pipe because he's been talking to the Marlins. And I know he's checked in with the other teams that are out of it, mostly the White Sox and the Rockies. So he also said, hey, don't think that just because Luis Arraez was traded in early May, there's going to be a flurry of trades. It's more of a one-off. But I don't think he's in any panic mode. Not that I've ever known him to panic. They're playing well. They're getting healthier in the rotation, which, again, is going to help the bullpen. It's really one player out of the pen that's hurt them. Granted, it's the closer, and he certainly thinks that Adbert is going to get to find it again. Tommy, you asked me Friday, you know, if I thought he could find it again, and I said yes, and Jed is not going to disagree with that, obviously, publicly. They think it's snowballed on him a little bit. But they think they have enough. They'd like Hector Neris not to walk as many guys. But he thinks the glass is half full when it comes to the pen, not necessarily half empty. Now, who knows? Another bad month, that could all change. But, you know, Ben Brown going back there will certainly help.
Okay, so who gets the ball tonight if you're trying to hang on to a one-run lead in the ninth?
Well, let's see if, you know, Neris pitched yesterday, right? I got to look at all the usage.
No, he didn't pitch yesterday.
He didn't pitch yesterday. So, yeah, it's definitely Neris. Neris has been getting it now. He's been shaky. I talked to Neris before the game, and I said, look, I know you're confident when you get into trouble. And he kind of cut me off. He goes, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want that. I don't want the walks. I'm just not completely locked in. But at least he does have the experience to get out of it. So yeah, I wasn't sure of his usage, but yeah, he'd be the guy in the ninth inning. But like I said, Craig mentioned that Ben Brown would be available, and I have a feeling Ben Brown has convinced them he could be deployed in any situation now. Remember, he's already started. He's already relieved. Now, he hasn't really pitched the ninth, but I think if needed, they would do it. So if Neris had been used 2 days in a row and Leiter had been used, they wouldn't mind going to Brown. I talked to Brown yesterday before the game, and he's just so much more comfortable a month into this thing than he was a few weeks ago. He even mentioned just happy to have a major league salary, which you don't always hear from players. So I think they're happy and sort of satisfied with Brett Brown's progress and would deploy him in any situation. But there's no doubt right now they're counting on Neris to close out games, and it has been shaky even with him.
Jesse, there's a difference between being in panic mode and just seeing what we're all seeing, and Jed understanding that, hey, this isn't good enough, and we can't live with this, and we're giving away too many games too early in the season when our pitching staff is, especially from a starting rotation standpoint, is just too hot right now. So does he see what we're all seeing, and is it bothering him? Is it bugging him?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt it is. Absolutely. He said, look, I'd love to live in a world, and he mentioned these names, where Jonathan Papelbon, his old Red Sox closer, was with the team, or Chapman in his heyday with the Cubs. But he's like, we don't live in that world right now. We either need to trade for one, sign one, or develop one. Now, they haven't had a history of signing them in December. They have traded for them midseason, like Chapman. So, you know, it's a little bit of his own making here. He says all these things they need to do, and they haven't done them, including develop one. They thought maybe they did with Adbert, but I think we'd all agree Adbert didn't have some great resume. He had sort of half a year last year, or three quarters of a year before he got hurt. So he sees it. But I think the first option is what I said earlier. As they get healthy in the rotation, I mean, who knows? Maybe Wesneski is next to go in the bullpen if Wicks comes back and they feel like Wicks should be starting. Or maybe it's Wicks that goes to the bullpen. These are good arms, Ben Brown, Wicks, Wesneski, that could help their bullpen. So first up is, assuming this health trend continues in the rotation, is trying some of these guys in the bullpen. But there's always an injury around the corner, and you'll feel, you know, like you're short again in a week. Who knows? But for now, let's see what Ben Brown does. Then let's see what Wicks does in whatever role he's in. And then, you know, cross your fingers, Kyle Hendricks is going to make a Triple-A start tomorrow. They haven't given up on him. But I asked Jed, like, what are the decisions? He's like, we're just going to deal with them as they happen. Like, when Hendricks has to come off the IL, we'll make that decision. When Wicks comes off the IL, we'll make that decision. Who goes to the rotation? Who goes to the pen? And who goes back to the minors or gets released? Like, it's great problems to have if you have everybody healthy and they're trending in that direction.
All right, Jesse, hang in there, because I want to ask you if there's a greater problem and a blind spot for Jed, and this goes back to Theo on the closer issue, something that you were just alluding to. I'd rant like a week or two ago about this and pick your brain about it. And then I want to get the injury situation with Seiya and Bellinger. I know they addressed that too, and Jed and Council addressed it. And we'll talk about the series here coming up. More with Jesse Rogers from Wrigley Field coming up.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, we continue our conversation with Jesse Rogers. Jed Hoyer just spoke at Wrigley, so did Craig Council. It's a good song right here. Especially with the Cubs bullpen. It's been a roller coaster.
Ohio Players, the band.
Were you part of the Ohio Players?
I was not, no.
I'm not a Cincy.
No, but a fan of the Ohio Players.
Jesse Rogers continues to join us. He's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. It's on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. We were talking about Doug closers and how he would like to have a guy like a lockdown closer. I brought this up to Waddle about a week or two ago, and to Meller and to Tyler. And I know it's tough to find a closer, but still, Jed and Theo, going back to Theo, have been here for well over a decade, if you go back to 2011, Jesse. And yeah, just like they've had issues developing starting pitching, and now they're getting a grasp of that. They're getting more success with that. But think about their closer situation. And as you've mentioned, they've sort of taken it year by year, and it's hurt them. So when their window opened, they had to go out and they had to pay with prospects to go out and get Chapman. And they didn't think that they should pay for Chapman with a free agent contract after trading prospects for him. So they let him go. So instead, they traded Soler for Wade Davis. And again, it was like a one-year deal. Then you had to panic and go out and sign Craig Kimbrell. And then you had to go out and you had to sign Brandon Morrow. And he was a bust. So you've never really gone out and signed a good closer long-term, nor have you developed a young pitcher to inherit that role. They're always chasing the closer role. And this has been, this has not been like a 3 or 4 year thing. In my opinion, this is really a blind spot for this front office. They're always chasing a closer. Why is that?
Because they don't believe in spending so much money on a volatile situation unless it's one of the, unless it's the best in the league. And I mean, you answered your own question in some ways. Wade Davis didn't turn out to be the long-term answer. What if they had signed him to big money? Brandon Morrow didn't turn out to be the answer, and they did sign him for a few bucks, and it was a waste of money. So I think they just don't believe in using their funds for that position, because half the time maybe it works, half the time it doesn't. They're always hoping to develop, but I agree with you. That's been the problem, and it kind of extends to how they've developed pitchers under the last, you know, the last decade and stuff. Until recently, it just hasn't worked. I mean, Ben Brown continues to show the signs of it because he's a two-pitch pitcher. Maybe he's the guy. He was asked, Jed, is your future closer on this roster? And I could have predicted Jed's answer. He's like, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. What I do know is they'll have the funds and the assets to make another trade in July. It's just not how you want to go about your business. I don't disagree with you. But it is kind of like, okay, they've tried a few guys and it hasn't worked. So even Kimbrel didn't really work for a while there, and then he did. So it's such a volatile position. They don't want to use their funds on it. That's the answer.
You like Wade Davis was, remember, running on fumes when they ended up trading for him. He was at the end of his career. That's why, like, he didn't end up working out long term. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these signings were flawed moves. Like, Brandon Morrow was a guy, I think he pitched in every game of their World Series run.
Right, and then they signed him.
Yeah, they abused him. You know what I mean? Yeah. And sure enough, he had arm injuries.
He was damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. You're right. So the question, you know, when you have Jed on next or when I get him alone is really this. Why haven't you spent for one of the best in the league? Like, no one's crying about spending on Josh Hader, right? Even though he's off to a little bit of a rough start. But it's one thing to say it's volatile, but it's not volatile when you go out and get the best in the game. So his answer, I think, today was kind of like, well, they're not always available. But sometimes they are. Josh Hader was available this offseason. So I think the answer is in all of this that we're saying. They don't want to spend big money on one, so they'll spend some. But when you do that, you're not getting the best, and then it becomes volatile. And then you could say, see, why should we spend on it when it doesn't work? So it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy there. The answer would be developed from within, but that's not always easy as well, because the ninth inning is a different animal, as evidenced by what Adbert Alzolay's been doing.
Away from the bullpen, Jess, what can you tell us about the status of Seiya and Bellinger?
Yeah, all good news. Trending in the right direction. Suzuki's going to go out on a rehab assignment later in the week. Bellinger will just get activated later in the week as well. I mean, it could be as soon as tomorrow for Bellinger. They both hit, ran the bases, played defense today. So it's just a matter of days unless there's a setback. Bellinger won't go out on a rehab because he hasn't missed as much time, but Suzuki will. So I think by the end of the week, at the latest, you'll see both of them in the lineup. I mean, just cross your fingers. They'll be almost as healthy as they've been since March, really, if nothing else happens. And wow, I mean, the way this starting staff is pitching, and the way guys like Morel and Pete Crow Armstrong, some of the young guys are taking steps, this team could be ready for a run here. They're not going to pitch like this, you know, forever. But let's at least say, hey, this is unbelievable. This is like 2016-ish. The way their starting pitcher has gone on a run here. So got to give them credit for that. And as they get healthy, I don't know about you guys. I think this team's going to win the division. I thought that in March. I think that even more now because they're getting so much production from young guys, even in the minor leagues, to start the season.
Was there not an update on Wicks given today?
No, there really wasn't. But nothing serious. I think they're just, you know, buying some time. He'll go down to the minors as well at some point. His was never too serious. I mean, Justin Steele had a forearm last year, came back, was fine. So sometimes you think the worst, but I've talked to Wicks almost every day. He says he's feeling good. So he'll go, I just don't know when, but he'll go for a minor league rehab start. Look, they need to buy some time. They're going to have too many starters soon, which is never a bad thing.
Careful with that thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So they're going to buy some time with Hendricks and Wicks and then figure it out. Wesneski will get another start this Wednesday. He's been lights out. But boy, to watch the starting staff not give up a run all weekend, even though they only won 2 of 3, but that's pretty impressive. They've given up 2 over the last 30 innings. I mean, it's just been a great, great run.
With that said, Jess, who which of the three, and let's just go two, between Taillon and Shota, which is more likely to maintain a high level? Maybe not the dominance, but a high level for an extended period of time.
Okay, so I actually think the answer is Taillon. The way he's pumping first pitch strikes, the way he's filling up the strike zone, he's got experience. If I'm not mistaken, Shota faced the Padres in San Diego, I'm almost sure, right? So this yes. will be his first time facing a team for the second time. I'm very interested. The weather is going to be nicer with, you know, hitting conditions. And now let's see what the Padres do against him the second time. Look, what he's done has been amazing. I do think he's going to come back down to earth a little bit. I mean, you know, Council was asked yesterday if he's surprised by what's gone on with his three starters that have sub-2 ERAs. He's like, well, what do you – he basically said, what do you think? If Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz all had sub-2 ERAs, we'd be surprised. I mean, it's unseen what they're doing right now. So Imanaga with a .70, Tommy, it's going to go up. It's going to go up. But I do think actually Taillon, because of his experience and the way he's pitching right now, is a little bit more sustainable. There's no way Imanaga can keep this up. If he does, he'll run away with the Cy Young.
We have like 30 seconds. Does Steele have a pitch limit tonight?
He does, and this is where Ben Brown could come in relief and go the long route. I don't know how many, but I don't think it's going to be more than like 70 for Steele. So think about Ben Brown maybe coming in later. But one way or another, Brown's going to pitch in relief in this series. And my final thought is Dylan Cease is coming to talk to the media. He might join you tomorrow. He should join you tomorrow. But I don't think he's going to pull a Keenan Middleton and rip the White Sox or anything. I think he's going to say they gave me a good opportunity to be a major leaguer, and that's going to be it.
All right, good stuff, Jesse. Thanks, Jess.
Okay, boys, take care.
There you go. Really good.
Nice to have interesting early May baseball.
Yes, very good. Tonight should be good. Tonight should be great in the NBA as well. Thank you to Jesse Rogers. We've got White Sox and Rays coming up next. Don't forget, on Thursday again, I'm going to be at Slightly Toasted in the Loop, giving away a spot in our golf outing. So meet me out there.
I'm going to be slightly toasted tonight myself.
You're always slightly toasted. Thanks to Meller and thanks to Tyler. We appreciate them as well. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a fantastic Monday night.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.
Welcome to the...